greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Blessing to be here this morning again. Title I've chosen for the message this morning is Choices. I'd like to look at the definition of the word choice in the beginning. A choice is an act of selecting or making a decision when faced with two or more possibilities. The right or ability to make or possibility of making such a selection. A range of possibilities from which one or more may be selected. How many of you have choices this morning? I think every one of us do. There's a vast array of things out there that we face in life and we make choices in. Sometimes we may not even think about it or may not even realize that we're making choices, but we do. You know, it could be as simple as which cookie you take from the platter to, you know, the important choice of, do I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior or not? Or who is the girl that God would have me to ask to be my wife, my spouse? Choices have consequences, whether we like it or not, they do. A consequence is a result or an effect of an action or condition. Someone has said, you are free to make whatever choice you want, but you are not free from the consequences of the choice. So, you know, we have a vast array of things out there we can choose from, and we are free to make the choice, as the definition says, two or more possibilities, many possibilities out there, and we have the ability or the right and the possibility of making a choice from that array of things that are out there. We have the freedom to choose. And God gives us the right to choose. But when we do choose, then we are not free from the consequences of that choice. And the words of the Ecclesiastes writer come to my mind, where he says in chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. In other words, if it feels good, do it. And in the sight of thine eyes, if it's appealing to your eyes, just do it. But remember, know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Remember that those choices, the desire of your heart, the thing that appeals to you, that feels good to you, that it will have consequences. Someone else has said, some people create their own storms and then get upset when it rains. You know, that is the thing of making a choice from that array of things and then getting upset, being angry and blaming somebody else, everybody but myself, for the choice that I made when it brings about consequences that I did not anticipate, that I had not thought about. Then I play the blame game and I get upset. Another saying here, everything you do is based on the choices you make. It's not your parents, your past relationships, your job, the economy, the weather, an argument, or your age that is to blame. You and only you are responsible for every decision and choice you make, period. Now, there's probably some limitations to some of that. When we look at the condition, the situation of Lot and Abraham, when their herdsmen were fighting, were quarreling because they wanted the best pasture, and Abraham said, you know, the land is before you. Choose whatever you want. And Lot chose to go over on the plain where it was well watered, close to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what happened, the detriment that was to his children, to his wife. Lot was responsible for that choice that he made. You know, I don't know what would have happened if Lot would have said, well, you can have the best ground, and Abraham would have gone down next to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says that God said that he knows Abraham, that he will command his household, his children, after him. Things could have been quite different had Abraham been down by Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot was responsible for the choice that he made. Abraham did the right thing in giving him the choice. In devotions this morning, Brother James talked about our connections and being connected with God, and how that it is our responsibility to keep our connection with God, to take care of that connection. God has made the connection possible through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, but it is up to us to keep that connection, because God has given us choice. Do we choose to abide in the vine, to continue abiding in the vine? It is up to us, first of all, when God draws us, to choose, to make the choice to reach out to Jesus Christ and to accept that finished work on the cross by faith. But then it is also up to us to choose to keep abiding in the vine, to make choices that draw us to Jesus Christ and that do not drive us away or do not hinder that connection. Yes, as it says here in this saying, our parents do affect our circumstances, our situation. But still, it comes down to what we choose to do with our situation. For example, when the disciples were in that boat, and the Sea of Galilee was stormy, and Jesus came walking on the water, why was it that Peter was the only one that walked on water that night? It's because he was the only one that made the choice to get out of the boat. They were all in the same situation. And so many times we have very similar situations, but one person may walk on water while the other sinks because of the choices that we make and how we look at our situation, and whether or not we play the blame game, whether we are thankful and we see the good in our situation, or whether we are playing a pity party and we are blaming others for our situation. So it's not the situation that makes the difference. It's the choices that we make in our situation that make the difference. I'd like to read out of Proverbs chapter 1 for some instruction from the Word of God concerning choices. We'll read verses 20 through 33. The voice of wisdom says in Proverbs 1, verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. See the vast difference there in that choices make for us, the consequences that choices have, the array that was put before these people and before us, and wisdom cries with her voice, choose me, come to me, listen to me. But these people said, I don't want anything of that. I don't want any part of that. They were shown light, but they rejected light because they loved the darkness, because their deeds were evil. They wanted to stay in the darkness. They wanted to keep on doing the things, the foolish things that they were doing. They were looking at the here and now. They were not considering eternity. And therefore, they made choices based on the here and now instead of making choices based on eternity. And the consequences is that wisdom says, I will laugh at your calamity. It'll be too late then. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then you'll call upon me and it'll be too late. Isn't that where the rich man was when he was in hell and he lifted up his eyes being in torment and he saw Abraham and Lazarus sitting in his bosom and he cried out for a drop of water and it was not granted to him because of choices that he had made, and the consequences of those choices were damnation in hell, eternity in hell, because of choices that the man made. He hated knowledge. He did not choose the fear of the Lord, it says here. God forbid that we should be in that situation. This past week, I was wrestling with, you know, what should I preach today? And I did not get my answer until yesterday morning. I had gone to the shop early because I had a trailer I was trying to sell and it needed some work done on the lights. So I had gone over early. And just about the time I got there, I thought I saw a vehicle that was getting ready to turn in off of 54 into the shop entrance. And, you know, I didn't think that much about it. But later, I saw that this vehicle was sitting at the end of the driveway with its four ways on. So when I finished up, I drove out, and here was a man with a flat tire. The right front was flat. I looked at it just a little bit, and I thought, well, maybe we could just put air in the tire, and he could go on to work. He worked at Paris Building. So I left, went back to the shop, and had to wait a little for the air compressor to pump up. And as I was waiting on that, here he comes driving around the side of the building. You know, I was afraid with him driving on the flat that he would damage something, but he opted to do that anyway. And Brother Steve showed up and, unbeknownst to me, had told him that he has some tires that he thinks are about that same size. He'll go see if he can get a tire. So he had pulled up to the back, so we put air in the tire, and I heard right away that it's leaking. And I got to looking, and the tire was almost wore through on the inside because it was out of line. You could almost stick your finger through it like a balloon, and it was leaking through a hole. And the poor man smelled of beer and cigarettes. You know, this was on a Saturday morning after, you know, Friday night. And I offered, you know, I could take you on out to work. He said, well, I don't have a way home. He said, why don't you just drop me off at my house? He said he lives down off of Henry Midway Road. I said, okay, I'll do that. So as we were driving, we were talking, and he admitted to him and his family having been homeless just very recent, and he had only had this job at Paris Building for just a couple of months. And we got down there on Barnett Road, the house past where Alvey's used to live, and behind that, here was a trailer sitting out in, I call the middle of a cornfield, the yard all grown up with weeds. You could barely see the driveway. You could see it hadn't been mowed in a long time, probably not all spring. And as I was pondering this, do you think this man deliberately chose to be in this situation? Do you think he just got up one morning when he was a young boy and said, when I get big, I want to be addicted to nicotine, or I want to be an alcoholic, or I want to be a homeless man, not able to provide for the needs of my family because the money that I do get, I spend it on cigarettes, on alcohol? No, absolutely not. That man did not make that decision that he wanted to be that man. But he became that man through a series of choices that he made in his life. That first cigarette, the peer pressure. You know, he could have said no. But I'm sure there would have been some mocking, some shame. You know, come on, you're a sissy. You're a coward. Or that first drink. And then the addiction started. You know, those were choices that he made back at that time that now led up to his situation that he was in. The situation that he was in that morning was a result of the choices he had made previously. Now, he did not have a choice in the home in which he was born in. He did not have a choice in that of his childhood. But he had a choice in making the best of the situation, of being different, if his parents were maybe the same type of people as what he is today. I don't know. He had a choice in how he responded to that situation. And as it says in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That man had just as much opportunity, if you will, as any of us to be a different person, to be a Christian, to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be a different person, to be free from the addiction of nicotine and alcohol, to be able to supply the needs of his family, had he made different choices. And even the reason the tire was flat, because it was almost wore through from being badly out of alignment, that neglect of getting in alignment was a choice that man made, which led to him being in that driveway with a flat tire that morning. Now, it was also a choice for him to look for a job and continue looking for a job until he found this job, which allowed him to get out of his situation where he had been homeless to a situation where now he had money to pay his rent, and he was able to provide a house, be it ever so shabby. I believe it was something he could be thankful for. You know, I don't know what happened to him to cause the homeless situation that he was in, but more than likely it had to do with bad choices that he had made. You know, and those choices put him in a situation where one of his roommates, he said, took his vehicle without his permission and drove off in it, and on somewhere the other side of McKenzie, he had a flat tire. And according to what the man said, his roommate then drove the vehicle back home at 60 mile an hour with a flat tire. And he said it cost him over $2,000 to repair the damage to the vehicle. And obviously, I believe it was the same tire. Obviously, the damage still hasn't been repaired correctly because it's still out of line. It still needs more work. You know, most of these problems were caused by choices this man made previously in his life. Some of them recent, some of them years ago. He looked to be, you know, problem his 40s, upper 40s maybe. You know, but as we stand here, as we sit here, we look at situations like that, it's so easy for us to see the consequences of someone else's bad choices. But what about seeing the consequences of our choices and taking responsibility for those? That is where the rubber really hits the road. When we make bad choices, and whether do we accept the responsibility? Do we admit, like David did, when Nathan approached him and David said, I have sinned. I have made a bad choice. I am guilty. Are we willing to take the responsibility and to suffer the consequences of the bad choices that we do make from time to time? And then are we also willing to be long-suffering with others that have made bad choices and are suffering the consequences of their bad choices. And especially so when maybe they are blaming us for their consequences, are blaming us for having to suffer. Are we willing to be long-suffering with them and to help them? Someone has said the consequences of today are determined by the actions of the past. To change your future, alter your decisions today. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you will always get what you've always got. So if you want to change your situation, your circumstances, change the decisions that you make today. You know, God gave us as human beings the ability to think, to reason, to think things through, and to, at least to some degree, anticipate the consequences of choices that we make. And he gave us the right, the ability to choose from the vast array of choices, the selections that we have. And as born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also have the aid of the Holy Spirit that he will aid us to make right choices. He will aid us and help us to understand. Yes, we cannot totally see into the future, you know, but we don't have to have the feeling and believe that we are just in the dark and that, you know, we have no way of understanding or knowing, because guess what? God does understand and God does know, and it is his Holy Spirit that gives us direction. If we will just listen, as it says here in Proverbs, wisdom, the Holy Spirit is crying out to you. Listen to me. Hear my voice. Make choices based on what I am telling you. Make your choices based on eternity, not based on the temporal, the here and now, the things that feel good to you. And I believe there is a balance between being so afraid of making choices that we don't make choices at all, we can't make a choice, and being so boldly blatant and irresponsible in the choices that we make that we just do any old thing. There's a balance in the middle of that, and I believe that middle road is a place where we listen closely for the Holy Spirit's leading. We listen to what wisdom says. We listen to what the Holy Spirit says, and his will, the will of God, the perfect will of God, is our top priority in life. And I believe that will make a difference in the choices that we do make. You know, we are not controlled by the spirit of fear of what the future may hold, because we trust God to provide for us as we yield ourselves to his will and as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the choices that we make. And neither are we just boldly, blatant, and irresponsible with the choices we make, because we realize that we are insufficient of ourselves. We realize that we need God. We need our Creator God. And that we are totally dependent on him. In him we live and move and have our being. We can do nothing without Jesus Christ, but that we need him. And then if we do, and we will, make wrong choices from time to time, we take responsibility for our actions. We take responsibility for our choices. We ask for forgiveness if necessary. And we seek to make restitution where we can. But we also make the choice to accept God's forgiveness for those wrong choices, and we choose to forgive ourselves for having made wrong choices. As it says, the righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. I believe that's a part of that. We remember that God does not change, that God is the same, and that even when we do mess up, even when we do make wrong choices, he still loves us. His love for us does not change. His love for us is unconditional. You know, we as human beings are a special part of God's creation. We are the only part of God's creation that has been given that right and ability to make choices like we as humans do or can. God has given us that. The rest of the creation has varying degrees of choice. You know, when we think about plants don't have a choice. You know, yesterday we were stringing up our tomatoes, and as we were going along, you know, we had holes in the plastic with tomato plants. And I kind of made a joke of it. I said, you know, why aren't you tying up this one? And there was just a bit of grass in that hole because the tomato plant had died. Well, that grass had no choice whatsoever whether it was grass, grass or a tomato plant. It had no choice. And of course, we don't want that grass. We're not going to eat it, crabgrass or whatever it is. It had no choice in that. In that matter. It was something we don't want. The tomato plants had no choice that they were a tomato plant instead of grass. And then we have animals. And I'm not sure to what extent animals have choice. It seems like maybe they're guided more by instinct than by actual ability to think and reason and make choices. Take a dog, for example. I think they do have some ability to choose. You know, when we think about a dog, have you ever seen a dog go out and lay down in the middle of the road and sleep? I mean, yeah. And which of us would do that? I don't think any one of us would do that because we have the ability to think and reason. You know, we know that if we're asleep out there and somebody comes driving along, we might be in trouble. But the dog, you know, can't think and reason and think ahead that far. So he'll lay there and sleep, and then he hears something, and all of a sudden he realizes, well, here's danger, and he's scrambling to get off the road. So the difference is we have been given that ability, that special privilege from God, where the dog hasn't. Yes, dog can learn to some extent. You know, if he has a close call and he gets hurt on that road, chances are he may not do that again because he learned that that's a bad place to be. God gave us the ability to choose for a reason. And that reason is outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, where he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And here is the reason why God gave us choice. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The reason God gave us choice is because God wants us to choose Him. God wants us to choose life. God wants us to bring glory to Him by choosing Him. We could look at various examples in the Bible of people who made choices. David, when he went out and he fought Goliath, he made a choice to not let Goliath, this giant, ridicule the God that he served. But he stood up for the God that he believed in. He made a choice to go out. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. Joseph, when he was sold into Egypt, Joseph made the choice to not let his circumstances, his situation, get him down. And if anybody would have had a right to make the choice to be in a pity party, to be playing a blame game, I think Joseph would have had. But he didn't. He chose instead, he made the choice to praise God, to serve God faithfully, no matter what situation he was in, even when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. He chose to trust God. He chose to believe God and make the best of a situation. And God blessed him for that. So we see choices also have rewards, not just consequences. I'm not sure if there's such a thing as a good consequence or not, but I often think of a consequence as more or less a bad thing. And a reward for choices that we make would be the good thing that we get from the choices that we make. So choices also have rewards when we choose the right. I think of Mary and Martha. Jesus commended Mary for sitting at his feet. He said, you have chosen the good part, the needful part, the things that are necessary. And he told Martha, the choice you are making is to be careful and troubled about the temporal things here. Where Mary has chosen the things that are eternal, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And yeah, we don't necessarily just want to sit at the feet of Jesus and let the world go by. I believe God calls us to be faithful in the little things too. But to remember that the important things are what we learn when we sit at the feet of Jesus. And we make our choices based on those eternal things, not based on the temporal things that Martha was concerned with. Someone has said, be decisive. Right or wrong, make a decision. This could be talking back where I was reading earlier, talking earlier about being afraid to make choices. But be decisive, right or wrong, make a decision. The road of life is paved with flat squirrels who couldn't make a decision. And the reason those squirrels go back and forth like that isn't because their wife is sitting back in the tree saying, no, this way or this way, but because they are scared and they don't know which way to go. They can't make a decision. Now, don't just go with the flow, but listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God tells you, what wisdom tells you to do. Be decisive in making right choices. Don't be afraid when God leads you and it looks like a gigantic leap of faith. Don't be afraid to take that step, but trust God. Make choices, choices that will bring glory to God. And be quick to admit it when you're wrong. Take responsibility when you mess up. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So we see our destination for eternity is determined by the choices that we make. The entrance into that straight and narrow is through Jesus Christ. And when we reject Jesus Christ, we are automatically choosing the broad way. And I like to think of the straight and narrow as going right up the middle of the broad way. It is going exactly against, opposite of the broad way. Opposite of the flow. Going against that. Jesus said in John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And again, when he chooses us, when he calls us and he draws us, the choice is ours to make. Do I choose Jesus or do I reject him? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That is God's will. As our Sunday school lesson today in 2 Peter 3, that God is not willing that any should perish. It is God's will for us to choose him. He wants us to choose life, not for any selfish reason on his part, but for our good. That is why God gave us choice, because he wants us to choose life. I'd like to close with a scripture out of 1 John chapter 5. In verses 11 to 13. He says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Choose life by choosing Jesus Christ. When God lights you, when God gives you light, choose that light. Be willing to expose those works of darkness so that God can be glorified. You know, there are many decisions, many choices that you have in life. When you think about, you know, temptations that you face, you have a choice. You can choose temptation, or you can choose the escape route, as it talks about in our bulletin. Hit the escape key. With every temptation, there is a way to escape, and that way to escape is by calling the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder what it looks like in the spirit world when there's a believer that is being tempted to sin. And you probably have an angel or angels that are standing to assist you as the evil spirits are accosting you, are tempting you. And what does it look like when we give in and we yield to that temptation? Do the angels bow their head in shame and disappointment when we choose that sin over Jesus Christ? Versus when we choose Jesus Christ, the glory, the joy that is on the faces of those angels when we choose Jesus, when we choose to believe that what God has to offer is ever so much better than what Satan has to offer. Those are choices that I believe we are faced with on a daily basis. Doubt versus Jesus. Fear versus Jesus. Pride versus Jesus. Unforgiveness versus Jesus. You make your own list. What are the things that you are choosing compared to Jesus Christ? Someone has said that you can't get to hell by doing nothing. And I believe that's true. Because you can't do nothing. I once heard a message on mountains that you have to cross to get to hell. And I forget what those mountains were, but I think one of those was a church. And of course, we have Jesus Christ. We have the creation that bears witness of our Creator God. And all of those are mountains that we have to cross to get to hell. You don't get to hell by doing nothing, because you can't do nothing. Choosing to do nothing, choosing to not believe, is a choice that you make. So if you end up in hell, it is because you chose to go there. You chose to reject Jesus Christ. You chose to reject light. You chose darkness rather than light. And you chose to condemn yourself to hell. Choices, my friends, are important. Give glory to God by choosing Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you make choices this week. Let's kneel to pray.